Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Napins.
And I'm Robert Winters. And we're not going to talk about elections now.
No, the elections are gone, over, okay. Although...
Well, over and done with.
Yeah, they, some of the new candidates, or not the new pre, what do you call them when they're already in? Pre?
Incumbents.
No, there's another word, but anyway.
All right.
They were there at the round table last night, but that you mentioned January 6th is when the formal inauguration is, and it's always a nice event.
Absolutely.
At City Hall, yeah?
Yeah, and actually, you know, if you sort of play your cards right, you also get invited, you go along to, there's usually a reception someplace
afterwards. Oh, you do that, but
and
yeah.
You know.
I don't get that. I'm not going to be around, anyway.
So anyways, that's coming up soon. And I also mentioned then the inauguration of the school committee.
That's later that day, right?
Yeah,
so there will be no city council meeting that night, obviously.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And in fact, there won't be one. Well, we didn't figure that out yet because of the holidays.
Yeah, actually, we'll see what happens.
Next week, we'll tell you what the schedule is.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a few, at least one or two kind of important things that they have to deal with. Or
well,
not
December 16th, I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Next week, there's a meeting, and there's one on the 16th.
Right.
Whether there's one on the 23rd.
So one item that they'll have to come up with either a resolution or punt it, kick the can down the road, let it expire, is a car petition about the
Kingston Galleria. Because it did go to a second meeting as of last week.
That's right. So there was a special meeting last week on Tuesday.
About 5 hours.
It went on for a long, long time.
Started at 5.
And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I watched it.
Because there were some... proposal by people like Councillor Zondervan, who were trying to put
amendments,
load it up and saying
amendments. They were like
right, make
amendments.
Some amendments to what was around, and and some of those proposed amendments, including things like requiring everything to be net zero and whatever. And then the petitioners and the architects said we can't agree to that because it completely limits what we can actually do with the space in terms of leasing
We'd
and whatever.
We'd have to redo the whole thing.
And so the thing is that would just be a deal killer. That would ruin the whole thing. It kind of was reminiscent to me of something happened maybe 5 or some years ago. It's actually when Henrietta Davis was still on the council when the MIT south of Main Street. Zoning proposal was before the council, and it came to a vote, and then some people were saying we should maybe Minka van Beusichem was on the council then as well.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was the last year, with the closing moments of when there were actually four councilors leaving. I think it was Davis, Decker, Reeves, and Davis.
Oh my goodness!
Right, and the thing is what happened? Three people.
So what did they want to build?
So the thing is, it was a proposal at the 11th hour to make amend things. And it actually was temporarily okayed to require things to be net zero. But I was sitting right in front of the people from MIT who said, no, there's no way because of the lab buildings and whatever to actually make that feasible. So it was actually Henrietta Davis then said, well, okay, excuse me, let's do over. And they changed the vote in order to not necessarily require that, which is not to say that the buildings were not going to be built with efficiency
as possible.
Of course,
I mean, it's their bottom line. You want to build a building that's energy efficient. It's just
but you can't constrain it so much that it becomes
Craig Kelly brought up the word to address it versus achieve it. And and language makes a big difference.
Makes a big difference.
On how you present
and they were
something.
Perfectly agreeable in this current
that we will
petition
try to reach
to say,
this
we're gonna,
and that.
We're going
to
try, but the thing is, if you make this
make
an absolute, then
we can't
it just
it kills the deal.
Not fair.
So in the end, it didn't
So in
fly.
The end, so it was councillors Carlone and Zondervan were the ones who insisted on the amendments. But people, cooler heads, more reasonable.
Well, they did vote on each amendment, and the amendments that he proposed that he failed on were basically a 7-2 vote.
Right, exactly.
So then when they had a vote on the whole thing going to a second reading, it was the same.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was particularly impressed with Vice Mayor Devereaux's position in basically saying, look, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
Nobody can ever say that she's not as zealously pro-environment and concerned about climate change issues as anybody else. But the thing is, she says, no, at this moment, in this way, that would not be the right requirement to saddle.
Do you think, but she also is not, she's a lame duck, so she
right, but the thing is, but she wasn't voting based on her status as lame duck or otherwise. I think it was just because she felt it was the right way to go, and she was right.
Right, and her vote wouldn't have made a difference, or would it have?
Everything makes a difference.
Wait, does that have to be a 6-3 vote?
It would have to be a...
To
pass to a second reading doesn't have to be a 6-3 vote. Okay. But the thing is ultimately, you want to have something before the council ready for ordination, which will happen next week.
Right.
I don't know if next week is the absolute deadline. It could be another week to go.
But what about the letter of commitment? That also, they said that's a separate thing, but then they went over it.
It must be a separate thing.
When does that have to... doesn't that have to come into it?
So it's basically, it's when you pass the zoning, you pass the zoning with, and there's a reference to a memorandum of understanding that takes place with it.
So you need to have that ready, too. So it may not be next week.
They pretty much have it ready now.
That's true, yeah.
So the thing is that, so it could be passed or not.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling has always been about the car petition. Again, I don't care about all the particulars about this much height or that much height, but something needs to change. First Street has just never been successful.
Also, the mall is kind of dying a little bit, even though it's a nice mall.
There is a need for some level of reinvention.
Yeah, which is happening all over the country. Isn't nothing new. So
do something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you do, I'll bless you, but just do something. And there will be memorandum of understanding.
Is that the same thing as a letter of commitment?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, same thing. And it's actually for large zoning, whether it was the MIT zoning or the Volpe rezoning or whatever, all of these ones inevitably have some kind of a letter of commitment like that. You know, even some of the ones locally when they extended University Park out to Massachusetts Avenue a few years ago, they had to sign a memorandum of understanding.
So that means this will not appear before the new council.
Well, or unless, or, in fact, it's already been passed to a second reading. So the thing is, when it goes up for a vote, they could either vote
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But the thing is, if they feel they don't have the necessary 6 votes, and I think they probably do have the necessary 6 votes.
Yeah, they had 7 at this.
It starts to seem that way.
Yeah.
But if they didn't have the necessary votes, then chances are people would not want to move it to a vote.
That's right.
Because way then they wouldn't be able to reconsider it for another couple of years.
I think they have 6 votes.
So I think they probably do, but
I
never presume these things. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Hmm. But anyway, so that's something that's kind of big that's coming up. Now, last night, last night, right?
Yes. Round table.
So the city council did meet, but in a round table with the school committee.
Right.
Now, I don't know.
And some other people from the department.
Staff people, various people.
And
I didn't watch the videotape. I didn't go to the meeting.
I listened, but it's on my computer, but I have my little portable speaker. I take it to the different rooms.
Yeah. And there are no votes at roundtable meetings anyway.
So no public comment either, which is kind of nice.
Well, that's part of the rules.
I know.
Got to adhere to the rules. But the thing is I've there has been this call for pre-K.
Universal
pre-K. People have been, city council has been talking about for several terms now. There was a pre-K study group or something. It was largely city staff and school committee members and others that came up with some proposal in the past.
Because this was hired.
Now finally that has resulted in this report, which has very recently been...
like 60 pages.
Yeah.
It's available.
I went to a school committee candidate forum where the issue came up and somebody said, I forget what was said, but I went up and I spoke with Emily Dexter and others. I said, my understanding is that there are some, one way in which the pre-K needs would be met through some of the non-city entities.
Well, but they talked a lot about that.
It's part of the possible program for doing it. How do you meet it,
Right, but there's something about level 1, level 2, and some of these private programs cater to their own populations. Does MIT have a daycare?
MIT has
Harvard
facilities.
Has something. Leslie has, it's easier said than done.
It is easier said than done, but the thing is that one of the things that sort of kind of dovetails into the retail conversation is that, because I know because where I live on Broadway, I have 2 Montessori schools and Rockwell Daycare.
That was brought up by Dennis Carlone. We're not addressing the 3-year-olds because now you're talking about really young kids
that
don't qualify for pre-K.
Right.
Right. But, so that's,
but the thing I was going to say about that is that these programs, this was pointed out to me by Ellen Seminoff, is that in addition to, you know, parents pay considerable money.
A lot of money. Yeah, especially the younger you are. Yeah.
So you could be spending $15,000 to $20,000
At least on each kid.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's not cheap. But the thing is many of these programs also do have subsidies for people.
They do, but some of them, not enough. And the big issue is, does this become all through the public schools? Because if it does, then you're going to need classrooms.
Buildings.
You're going to need building or a dedicated building. Yeah. And how do you determine if everybody of a certain age can go? Then do you have, it's not going to be, shouldn't be free, because obviously a lot of people that are spending $40,000 or whatever are going to want to go into a free a year.
Right.
So
exactly.
It has to be income based.
Yeah. So they'll,
so it's a question of basically, is it going to be a mixed model with using off city sites and city and school sites, or is it going to be all school models? So they have to work through a lot of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least now they've got some report.
Yeah, it's very thorough with a lot of, but it's also a lot of projections on how many kids are going to be in the system.
It was a
huge, and I thought that was,
I read the report. It was a huge report on guesswork about what population
trends
will be.
And I'm wondering about that. Because,
I'm wondering too. I think a lot of those numbers, even if they're based on solid statistical methods, the thing is that even solid statistical methods are based on a lot of guesswork.
It's kind of because we're building all these units, but who's living in those units? Are they people with kids? And if they are with kids, I know in my experience, maybe it's changed. You get to a certain point, you can't buy in Cambridge, or maybe you want to buy, but you'll go to a place with, I like the schools better, and maybe I can get more house.
Right.
So there's a drop-off. I think Craig Kelly alluded to that at some point. So there's a lot of issues here. It's like, if we build it, they will come, isn't that? I mean, I don't know, but will they? And do you, but but then the other side, I mean, Mark McGovern brought this up, is that the King Open, the new King, you know, was filled to capacity on day one. And which is good news, but it's, in other words, are we, you can't just build for now, you have to build for future. So there's
but
a lot
and
of
And there'll always
here.
Be some programs in the Cambridge school system which are more popular than others.
Well, that's the other thing, quality.
People
in other words, how do you bring
try
up
and
some,
sort out. And
that's another big issue, is like there's some that are subpar, and how do you bring those up? Also, the teacher, where are you going to get the teachers from?
That's
what's the pay for these teachers?
Yeah. But the thing is, the underlying idea, and this is not just a Cambridge thing, but it's sort of about nationally, there's an acknowledgement.
Well, I guess New York now has universal, and maybe that's...
Right. But what why the call for universal pre-K? Well, at least this is to the best of my understanding.
Yeah.
There is an understanding that if you want somebody when they're nearing adulthood to be capable, you know, good citizen, whatever... capable of you know, becoming well-educated as they get through high school, going into colleges, whatever. It doesn't start when they enter high school. It starts way back when.
It starts in the home.
It starts in the home.
Well, that's why Head Start's very effective, I guess, but there's just so many, you know.
Right.
You got to get...
And the thing is that if right now, I mean, there is this real explosion of preschools and Montessori schools.
That's because more people are working. You don't
they
have
are working, but the thing is that if those are primarily serving people who have sufficient income, then you actually create, you know, more of a gap between those who have lower incomes and higher
incomes. Inequality, there we go.
Right,
yeah.
Because so the call for universal pre-K, the way I've always understood that, is that this is one of the most important, potentially one of the most important things you can do to sort of kind of keep those gaps
from
widening.
Well, maybe people, we should explain, some people don't realize that there's a lottery for those spots. They call it junior, you know, junior kindergarten. In other words, if you turn 4.5 by March something, you can enter, or I forget what the 4.5 by September, whatever, you can enter this lottery for pre-K. And obviously everybody wants it, but they don't have enough slots available for everyone that wants it. So it's a luck of the drawer. So that's what they really want to try to even out. Like everybody that has it, and I guess they figured, what was it, 900? I don't know, some big amount of kids. But,
so in other words, if you're a person who can't drop the $20,000 to do this, you know, are you going to be just dependent on a lottery? Or should that...
They can try to get into these other... you're right,
Right. So how do you how do you make it so that it's a little bit more equitable across the board?
Yeah.
Because the consequences are significant down the road.
Yeah, there are slots for kids in the the human service programs that I think are income based. So those kids, but there's still more need. Exactly. So how do you, but yeah. where do you do it? I mean,
where do you do it?
Emily Dexter brought up that they need 34 more classrooms or something for K to six. I forget. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so where do you do it? There's just so much space. Although that's why we should get to the second, the Tobin.
Yeah.
Was brought up after this roundtable because there had been a community meeting about it, but a lot of counselors weren't there, so they wanted to add this to just for more information. And that was interesting because that's the next school to be
in line for these hybrid middle school elementary programs.
Well, right? it is already an upper school, lower school.
Right, exactly.
And it's also had a lot of other programs, which I didn't realize.
But the thing is that the Montessori building is seen as needing
right, so, the, so they upgrade. Presented three designs, and I'd have to look at them more, but very interesting. One was to renovate, one was to actually add, I don't know, expansion, and there's like a wing concept and a pavilion yeah. concept or whatever, but there's a lot of space there.
Yeah.
But
one of the things that I noticed, because those of us who, when you're bicycling by, walking by, or driving by on Concord Avenue, you look over to that side when you're right across from Fern Street, you see, you know, you see the baseball fields.
Which
right?
is, they have to maintain.
Well, the thing
and
is,
it's also pretty close to Downey Park. It was brought up, oh, well, it's sort of a hike. It's only 0.4.
No, it's
I'm
very
sorry,
close to Downey Park.
10-minute walk. But
the thing is that one of the, at least some of the designs would, and out of necessity, what you do is you say, okay, we'll build on where the fields are and then replicate and put
the
some of the open space.
Because they can't take away the open space, but they have to keep that available.
But some, you know, right now there's just this nice big space there for
And I think there'd be a lot of complaints if they took that
away.
But also more kids means more cars. What do you do? And then they talked about two drop-off spaces. It was just crazy. But they want to have a place where the kids actually can be walked into the school, where the cars
and
don't
actually,
have to go. Cause
what
neighbors.
I have to say is if you look at what happened on the Putnam Ave school, right, the way it used to be versus what it is now, they actually have a much better system for people to drop off.
It's on
off
the side, children. Right?
Yeah, but even in the
front,
even
could
in front,
stop in the front. That's
you could never do it in front, but you could do it now. But you could much better is entries on the side on was it McGee Street, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for the old Harrington, right? The King Open.
Well, that's the new King Open. Yeah.
Right. That's.
That also was a very large plot of land there.
Well, that was old Cambridge Fields historically.
Right, but and, also behind it there was
They built school buildings on what was previously parkland.
Unlike the Longfellow,
which they don't really do so much
has
anymore.
Nothing. Right.
Right, so the Longfellow School, which is directly across the street from me,
and has no that
well,
I can see.
It has a
five
hard,
parking spaces, maybe behind it, if that.
Negligible parking spaces. So for those of us who live in the neighborhood,
and it is a bus stop in front. But how do kids? I mean, when that was a working school, like everyday school,
well,
what was that like?
All right, so here's the way it would kind of work.
Yeah.
And this was actually even true for people who worked at City Hall Annex, which is also in my neighborhood.
Right.
The way it would work is, a lot of people who lived in the neighborhood got in their cars in the morning and drove to work, which opened up all these parking spaces. And then people who worked at City Hall Annex would then park
there.
But
were these Cambridge people? Because they were
Cambridge
parking permits that they had.
Right, exactly. So, you know. And
there's meters also, isn't it, along Broadway? There's some meters.
Yeah, but you don't want to be feeding the meters all day long either.
Wow.
But the thing is that's how it worked. But the thing is, there's kind of an odd side about this, which is that with all the encouragement for people to not be driving to work whenever and to work locally, whenever, there are more people who are not actually hopping in their cars and driving to work. Which is a good thing,
also
but
it
also
good
means that
there
are less parking spaces.
Oh, because they're not moving
vacated
their cars. Yeah.
For people who might otherwise work over at the Longfellow School or elsewhere in the neighborhood.
I mean, it was brought up by Alana Mullen, maybe some other that would be a good location, maybe to be a dedicated pre-K. Like there's one.
I think
there
might
Childhood
be right.
Center in Somerville.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I agree with that. Although you have to, but I think Lisa. Peterson brought up that it is used as a swing school for
right now,
building of the buildings.
For while they're doing all this major reconstruction, which is really more like a 10 to 12 year program.
Although you now have these
least.
Other schools they could probably use as swing schools because you've got Putnam's Finish, King's
exactly,
Street,
exactly.
But anyway, so it sounds like a good idea, but I was thinking there is no adequate drop-off. I mean, you have, if you had 300 kids coming every day,
you
little
know,
kids that can't just be dropped off a block away.
I think if
what
you were
there?
If you were doing any sort of significant change to the Longfellow School building, you might actually reconfigure at the front of the building so that there is a drop off. Right now, it's a very wide sidewalk.
Oh, because there's a little basketball court.
Yeah, so you could
You know what? They'd have to have like a U shape, like they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is that that
makes sense to me, because that way you could really renovate it for little kids.
Yeah. So there may be.
But then they complain about that there's no open space, but you know, they'll walk to Senate Park.
That's not too far away.
Exactly.
Kids should learn to walk.
I know, but little kids, you know,
I'm sorry. Have you ever seen these little kids in daycare with the string attached to them?
No,
you see it all the time, right?
And see, I used to live on a block that had junk shops, Hubley's auction
house,
antiques.
And now you have the little, okay. Right. Okay, so where are those little kids? Aren't they going outside?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, where are they walking?
No, I have to say, this is sort of one of the delights of my life.
You see these little...
Right now, every single morning
and
afternoon.
They've got rope around them, right?
Who do I interact with when I go outside my house?
These are little ones.
Little kids.
And where are they going, Robert?
They
going
for
the
walks.
Park?
There is a little park around the corner.
Oh, I forgot about that park. You're right.
They use the Wilder Playground.
Yeah.
And they take them elsewhere.
Cambridge has lots of parks. I have
we
have lots of pocket parks.
Yeah, no, that's. I think we're okay on the
kids can learn to walk. 0.3. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing is, these are all escorted with
I understand
parents.
That.
These are very young kids. But right now, on my very short block, there's two Montessori schools plus Rock and Roll Daycare. That's
which is on
three.
Prospect and Broadway,
plus a
right?
coffee shop and me. That's it, right?
Yeah.
So so my sidewalk in the morning is filled with parents with kids.
Caffeinated parents.
And they got to drop them off there as well. Yeah, exactly, right? You know, so if they were to turn at some point in the future, make Longfellow into pre-K and stuff here, then we're going to have nothing but little kids.
I know.
You know, which would be
Speaking of walking, I wanted to bring this up last week. I don't want to sound like a... But, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the O'Connell Library.
Yeah.
And about trying to keep it open because it's a neighborhood library. I didn't even know where it was because I just think of East Cambridge as the Valenti Library, which they just rebuilt.
Yeah.
And so I was curious, so I looked up to see how far the Valenti, because it wasn't even mentioned with all the parents coming to this meeting in public comment, and it's 0.4. I've got that in my brain. That's a 9-10 minute walk. Now, granted, if you're really little, but it's not that far. I go walk up to Central Square, it's about 0.5. I mean, I'm just, are we not walking anymore? What's going on? I don't know. I'm just saying, yes, keep your branch open. I think that's great, but... If you need extra hour, the Valenti, I think, is beautiful now. Have you seen
it? I have to say, I have to say though, just because I see it every single day.
What?
When people are dropping off children, picking up children here.
Yeah, how is it? So is it a lot of traffic? Do you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's the solution there?
Well, in my block, it's the fact that there's a bus stop, and the bus isn't there most of the time. So
they pull into that?
The bus stop is effectively
But
a
in the mornings, isn't the bus...
The
pretty
bus
frequent?
Comes by every 40 minutes.
What? In the morning?
It's the 68 bus is every
what?
40 minutes.
That's terrible. At rush hour?
It's every 40 minutes. So the
no
thing
wonder
is,
people
so
aren't taking public transit.
If they're bringing in hot food and beverages for one of the preschools, they'll pull into the bus stop. Now, if you folks in traffic and parking give them grief for doing that, you're going to get going to raise my ire. Because I think that's actually good. Because to me, bus stops, you shouldn't be blocking when the bus is there. But 39 minutes out of 40, it's
okay,
there's
but,
no bus
all right,
there.
Then but back up. How did that get... Is that allowed use to have a daycare center where you're going to have traffic?
Yeah.
People. So that was allowed on that in that location?
Yeah, it's an allowed use.
They don't look at drop-off and... Pick up.
You know, I think if we were really planning this all well, and I don't know that we are, because honestly, you know, it's just an allowed use under zoning. It's not like you have the city mothers and fathers get together and decide what the best place
no
to
one could even anticipate
locate
that,
these
I guess.
Are. It's basically you've got what would otherwise be empty retail space occupied by places like Rock and Roll.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, the thing is, oh, let's get out of our cars. Why are people driving? But meanwhile, it's the families that can afford it that use those cars.
Right.
I mean,
but the thing is, there are parents who come with their kids on bikes.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There are parents who come walk their kids there.
Probably because they live
But there are a lot,
enough.
And they're going to be parents. Parents have other things to do. So
absolutely. Know, they're going to work.
You cannot wish away motor vehicles.
No.
Right?
If you have a family,
there,
you likely
to
are going
to
have a car. Unless so you're like these super duper families that ride around, like Kelly's family, I guess.
Yeah. Like, so that's fine. Yeah. I think, you know, you find an equilibrium. And the thing is, if it was so difficult, then maybe the parents would try and locate their kids to a different preschool arrangement, a different place where it was a little easier to do. You know, these things find their own equilibrium.
They probably tried to get into their business's daycare. A lot of them have it, but that's limited too. But
Now, in a really ideal world.
Oh, really ideal world. We should have somebody else for president. What?
Right. We have multiple preschools and Montessori schools in the neighborhood. Wouldn't it be great if we actually opened up a retail, like, toy store on the block?
What are you talking about? There used to be Sandy and Son right in Inman Square for years.
But not on my block. We had the three preschools.
Oh, right? Come on.
So then your parents...
No, you need coffee more than school. You need toys.
True.
No.
But then, you pick up your kids and then you go into some place that's an attraction for the kids. Or
maybe, what?
Yeah.
You want to buy me this, buy me that? You're not a parent. You haven't been there. Sorry.
All right.
No. The worst place you want to take your kid after a long day when they're cranky and hungry is to a toy store.
All right. Well, how about
you've heard it from me. But
so we'll have an amusement park. We'll build an amusement park.
They like usually ice cream or a snack. So.
All right. Now there we go, too.
Milk and pizza.
We can do and pizza on my block as
well. You're going to be careful. You're going to get things you don't want on your block. So you better shut up right now.
Well, you know, we used to have Savvy Spa at the corner. You know, we had barbershops before I lived there.
God, what do men do now? They go to the unisex places and pay a lot of money.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right, so we'll be here next week. So there is a regular city council meeting,
and then
right?
Most likely then not the following weeks because of the holidays.
Yeah, they all fall on Eves, and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Oh, participatory voting.
Oh, yeah, vote yes. Through
it's
this
only
Sunday.
Only through the 8th, yes.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I will.
Go to his website, you'll find out.
All right.
Bye.
See you next week.